Beautiful, isn't it? That's just plain old congregational a cappella singing without musical accompaniment. Grace and peace to you from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Before the next song, we'd like to tell you this program is brought to you by the poor, the meek, and the downtrodden of the Main Street Church of Christ, 4300 Main Street, Dallas, Texas, 75226, USA. And visit our website at www.churchofchristpreaching.com. The churches of Christ are those local, autonomous, self-governing congregations you read about in Romans 16:16. We're neither Protestants nor Catholics nor Jews, but just plain old vanilla Bible-believing Christians. We're reaching the unchurched for Christ worldwide by radio at the same time and station every Sunday. So why don't you come into fellowship with us? You can simply assemble in the freedom of your own home if you live in a country that's not free or there's no Church of Christ near you. Then you and your family will become the Church of Christ, and we'll teach you how. You don't need the approval from anyone to worship God through Jesus Christ. Five things compose worship. You can sing, study the Bible, learn to preach, take the Lord's Supper, pray, and set aside some of God's blessings for the poor of your own community anywhere in the world. Visit our website at www.churchofchristpreaching.com. And be sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel. And why don't you visit our website at www.churchofchristpreaching.com for free downloads of great a cappella singing, hundreds of sermons, advanced Bible studies, and 1,000 links. Please tell a friend about our website and our broadcast time. Now we offer you this a cappella singing, which is four-part harmony without musical instruments, so that you can hear what we believe singing in the Spirit in heaven is surely like.
Christ, we have redeemed us, and God. And so, Father, it is good to be in your presence, dear Lord, and I thank you for each individual member who is here with us and those who are listening in other forums. And Father, we just seek your face, and we confess that you are King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You are good and merciful, and you have shown us your love in Jesus Christ, and we give you thanksgiving. We thank you, dear Lord, that we have the opportunity as your children to come near to you, to sit at your feet, and to receive living words from your mouth. And thank you, Father. Let us receive those things and strengthen us and change us, revive us to be your people. Bless this Main Street Church here in this difficult neighborhood and all the things that we're involved with. And please prosper our works. It's through Jesus that we pray. Amen. If you would turn your Bibles, we're going to be in Matthew chapter 11, and we're going to begin in verse 25. Matthew 11, verse 25. At that time, Jesus declared, "I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come unto me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." So if we look at the context here, we discussed last week the rejection of this region of Galilee, these two cities, Bethsaida and Chorazin, though most of Jesus' mighty works and miracles had been done in this region, they rejected him. And so verses 20 through 24 deal with that. And now Jesus continues this discussion to further illustrate the rejection of his ministry, but also to introduce a new idea, those who accept him. And so he's going to be talking about these two groups of people, and also the context we have here is the disciples have just returned from their mission, and they're rejoicing in the successes in the ministry of Jesus. And so look now at verse 25 once more. "At that time, Jesus declared, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will." And so here Jesus praises God for his faithfulness to both humble those who are proud while lifting up the lowly. This is the fulfillment of what Paul cites in 1 Corinthians 1:19, "For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the discernment of the discerning I will thwart. There is a judgment upon the proud in terms of concealment of truth and revelation." John 9:39 says the following, "For judgment I have come into the world, that those who do not see may see, and those who see may become blind." Some of the Pharisees near him heard these things and said to him, "Are we also blind?" Jesus said to them, "If you were blind, you would have no guilt. But now that you say, we see, your guilt remains." And so the judgment that Jesus is enacting here, the concealment, is for those who in their own pride claim to be able to see without God, but of course they have no spiritual sight, but only believe themselves to be wiser than God. There is a divine reversal that is taking place, whereby the wise become fools and the fools become wise. The psalmist declares in Psalm 118, verse 22, "The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes," and how wonderful and how marvelous it is to see the way that God interacts with both the prideful, those who reject Him, and with those who are simple at heart, and those who are like little children who receive Him. And so we speak much about the revelation of God. We speak much about God's desire to communicate to His creation, but also there's another concept that we're seeing this morning, that God also conceals information. And so we have many examples of this, such as Romans chapter 1. We have the entire ancient world. They did not think the things of God worthwhile to retain. They despised the knowledge that they had about God, and so He gave them over to a debased mind to do the things that they ought not to do. We understand in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3, "For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching." The idea is people don't want to hear what God has to say to them, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions, and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander into myths. And then in 2 Thessalonians 2:10 through 11, picking up in the middle of the verse, Paul says, "Because they refuse to love the truth and so be saved." And so there's the problem. People don't want to listen to the truth. Therefore, God sends them a strong delusion so that they may believe what is false. And so we have two classes of people that Jesus is discussing this morning. We have the wise and learned on one end, and then we have this other group, which is called the little children. We have the prideful on one end, and then we have the humble on the other. We have those who desire to know God and those who do not want to know God. And so the Lord conceals wisdom from those who don't want it, and He reveals it to those who are desiring to understand His truth. And so let's look at this first class of people, the wise and learned. Who exactly is this referring to? Carson points out that many scholars and commentators believe that this is only describing the scribes and Pharisees. However, when we zoom out just a little bit and look at the context, more likely it is referring to this generation, right? Because he's just mentioned the land of Galilee, and he's just mentioned all these people who have rejected him. And so, without a doubt, I believe that this is referring to anyone who rejects Jesus, not just the scribes and the Pharisees. And so who are these people once more? They are the wise and understanding, and they are not like little children. And so their qualities and characteristics are the opposite of children. Proverbs 3, verse 5 tells us the following: "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding." And so the wise and learned, they are the ones who trust in their own understanding. And they are the ones that do not lean upon God and trust Him, but they are the ones who are prideful in their own hearts. And so I don't believe that Jesus is speaking against the scholarly. Some scholars become more humble the more they know, the more that they understand about God, the more they understand about the universe, the more they're made aware of how little they know. And the pursuit of knowledge can, in fact, be a humbling process. And so there are plenty of a more simple mind that in their arrogance lean upon their own understanding, and they can be classified in this group of wise and understanding. Trying to navigate through the complexities of this life without Jesus Christ, the light of the world, is like trying to walk through a minefield blindfolded in the dark. It's simply not possible. And it is the very example of arrogance and pride. And so Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 offers commentary on this very same idea. He has a rather lengthy discussion describing those who are wise in the wisdom of the world and those who are more humble and foolish. He says in verse 20 of chapter 1, "Where is the one who is wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God the world did not know God through wisdom, it pleased God through the folly of what we preach to save those who believe." And so Paul summarizes this discussion in verse 31 as he says the following, "So that as it is written, let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord." And so we have one class of people that are boasting in their own worldly wisdom and their own understanding. And then we have another group of people that are more humble. They are like little children, and they are boasting in the Lord and in the Lord alone. And so Jesus says once more, "You have hidden these," or Matthew says, "You have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will." And so looking at these little children, the ones who have the knowledge of the truth of God, they understand the way of salvation. I don't think that Jesus is saying here that just children are going to be saved, but he's referring to childlike disciples. He's referring to simple ones, those who are humble, and we get a sense of what Jesus is talking about if we look in Matthew 18, beginning in verse 2. And so Jesus is once approached by his disciples, and they ask him this question: "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" To which Jesus responds in verse 2, "And calling to him a child, he put him in the midst of them and said, 'Truly I say to you, unless you turn and become like a child, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven.'" And so what is it that Jesus is talking about when he talks about these little ones, when he talks about these children, and he says that these are the ones that receive the spiritual knowledge of God? He is not literally referring to children, but he is referring to those who are humble like a child. And so it is humility that is the gateway to revelation. And so it is the disposition of a child that so fittingly, and it is so appropriate, that it describes the Christian's relationship to God. And so this childlike quality, it is the path to the knowledge of God and spiritual success. And on the other hand, pride is the dividing wall between creator and creation. And so I want us to think this morning just a little bit about some of the qualities of children. They embody a purity and a desire to grow and to mature that is very applicable to the Christian life. As we've mentioned, I believe that the main point here is that children are humble. They know their place in God's economy. They understand their dependence. I think about the Israelites as they spent time in the wilderness. They were dependent upon their father and God to supply all of their needs, to supply bread from heaven and to take care of all of their wants. Also, if we think about children in terms of faith, they understand that they do not have all the answers and that their father has the answers. And if we look through this lens at a few different Bible characters, such as Abraham, I believe that he walked in this childlike humility and faith, and it was his greatest success. If you consider some of the things that he went through, he received a word from God that he was going to be given a son, and miraculously, he is given a son when he is too old to have a son. He is told that through this son, that all nations are going to be blessed and that his descendants are going to be as numerous as the sand on the seashore and that they're going to be as numerous as the stars in heaven. And then, very interestingly, probably the greatest faith testing and crisis that we read about in the Old Testament, God gives him a seemingly contradictory word and tells him to offer this son upon the altar. And if you just think about that for a minute, God has said one thing, he has made one promise, and now he gives a different word. And it is in this moment that Abraham embodies what it is to be a child, and he realizes that he's not in the driver's seat, that he does not understand what God is doing, but he trusts God, that God even has the ability to raise his son Isaac from the dead. He is obedient, and it's through this childlike humility and obedience that he receives revelation, and perhaps one of the most profound truths in the Old Testament regarding the provision of God. If you remember, God provided a lamb, and that lamb represented Jesus Christ, that one day God was going to provide a lamb that was going to take away the sins of the world. But Abraham walks in this childlike humility. Think about Joseph. He had everything going his way. He was the center of his father's affection, and his life is kind of like a roller coaster. It has ups and downs, and so he's on a spiritual high, and then everything seems to fall apart. His brothers sell him into slavery, and then God begins to bless him. He begins to come back up and receive the Lord's blessing, and he's in Potiphar's house, and God blesses everything that he does. And then out of the blue, he is slandered and spoken against by Potiphar's wife, and then he winds up in prison. And I can only imagine what is going through his head. I can only imagine how homesick he is. I can only imagine how he just is confused and maybe even broken. But in this most difficult of life circumstances, I believe Joseph was exercising childlike humility in that he didn't understand why in the world he was in this terrible situation. But he knew that his Father in heaven was in charge, who was in control, and he trusted him. And it is through this humility that he learned and he became a model to all of us of God's power and ability to lift up the humble and those who are childlike in the most difficult of circumstances. And so it is childlike humility that is the gateway to spiritual revelation. And so would you consider enlisting in the school of Christ? Would you like spiritual revelation? Would you like to know more of who God is? Paul says that these things are discerned spiritually, and they are revealed to those who are foolish, that is, those who are humble and seeking and wanting God to give them information. If we want this knowledge, we need to learn the humility of a child. God never, He never has and never will reveal spiritual wisdom to the proud. If you're not growing in God and becoming more like Christ, if He's not speaking to you in fresh ways from His Word, maybe it's because you're too proud. Have you ever heard the person who says, "I really don't ever get anything from God's Word. I try to read it, but I just don't get anything. It doesn't do anything for me." And so you have one person that says this, but on the other hand, you have someone whose experience is entirely different. They say, "Reading God's Word is like rain from heaven falling on a dry and weary land. It is refreshing. It is so satisfying. It is sweeter than the honeycomb." What is the difference between these two people? How do we explain the difference between their experiences? I believe Jesus explains it this morning, that there is one class of people that they are wise and they are learned and they are prideful and they are trusting in their own understanding, whereas there's another group of people and they are like children and they have the capacity, they have the good soil in order to receive the rain from heaven, in order to receive the Word of God, in order that it might produce in them something spiritual and something of life. And so if you look in verse 27, Jesus continues, "All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and everyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal Him." And so by this we understand that God is a God of revelation. He is a speaking God. He gave us ears, He gave us eyes, He gave us a mouth. He is fully capable and He delights to communicate with His little ones. We serve a God who speaks to His children. He speaks to His little ones in living and active ways. He speaks specifically at different points within our life. And when we pray to Him, we're not just praying to a wall. Our prayers are not simply received and just put in a filing cabinet in heaven. But when we pray, we're speaking to a person with a revelatory nature. And when we speak to Him, God has a way to speak into our lives and to communicate to us and to encourage us and to open new things in His Word. And so the following passage many times is quoted by Calvinists. It's one of their favorite passages. And they emphasize what God is doing in this passage and what He's doing alone. However, this is a balanced text. For as we have seen, God's revelation is dependent upon the condition of one's heart, whether or not it is childlike. In other words, those who are willing to receive His Word. It takes two to dance. We have the role of God and we have the role of man. We have libraries that are full of information, but it's pointless unless there is a desire to go and learn this information. And so the command is that we might seek, and if we seek, we will find this revelation of God. And so we read further in verse 28. Jesus says, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And so Jesus gives an invitation to all, the entire world, but it is up to us to accept it. Friend, if you are burdened, if you are heavy laden, you have an invitation to come to Christ. In fact, you have a responsibility to come to Him and not delay. He says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." And so what is it that Jesus is talking about here? The context would suggest that if we come to Him like a child, He is going to reveal His truth to us. And then we see reference to what it looks like to walk according to this truth. Jesus makes an incredible promise that we will find rest for our souls. Twice He mentions this idea of rest. And so this is what it is to be a little child of the Lord. It is to find rest in God. And this rest comes from a knowledge of God, an understanding that we have a Father in heaven who is sovereign over the affairs of our life, and He wants to interact and bless us and protect us, even in the most difficult circumstances, such as Abraham and Joseph, these difficult faith struggles that they find themselves in, and they don't understand which way life is going to turn next. And so this is a rather expansive statement. I want you to think about this for a minute. I don't know about you, but sometimes in my own life, I feel like there's not enough time in the day, and there's too many things to do, and I can sometimes barely handle my own problems. But Jesus here invites the entire world and offers for them to come and lay upon Himself the burdens of the world. There is no one like Jesus. And so this morning, I want us to consider the invitation of Jesus. It is an invitation to repent of our pride, that we have everything figured out, that we are in control of our lives and our destinies, and that we can fix our own problems. This sin of being wise and learned. And we need to get out of the driver's seat. We need to allow the Lord to take over our life. And we need to understand that we are children. And we need to learn humility in order that we might remove the barrier between us and the revelation of God, which is pride, and that we might experience childlikeness, which is the gateway to the knowledge of God. And so how exciting it is as we think about humbling ourselves, coming to Him as little children, knowing that these are the ones that God has chosen in order to bless and to reveal understanding and to give them the knowledge of God. This morning, if you are not a Christian, the Bible commands that you might repent of your sins, that you would be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins, that you might receive God to come into your heart, and then that you might walk in newness of life. If this is your desire, we invite you to come forward this morning. If you would like any other prayers for restoration, we would also invite you to come forward as we stand and sing our invitational song.
Lost sheep are welcome here, and I'm available to you for counseling. Why don't you give me a call and let's talk about your soul? You might be thinking I've gone too far and I'm too vile for God to save me. The exact opposite is true. You would honor God by believing that Jesus is who he says he is, the mighty God, powerful and strong to save. He's able to save to the uttermost those that come to God by him. Let me assure you that if God can save me and change me, the greatest of sinners, he can do wonders with you. Call me and let's talk about your soul and the great and sure promises of everlasting life. Call me for personal counseling, for songbooks or tapes at 214-821-2123. That number again is 214-821-2123.
Now to prepare our minds for the Lord's Supper. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples, said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it." Our dear Heavenly Father, we come to you now to take this bread that represents the body of Christ. We pray that as we do this, it will be in a manner that is suitable to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Our dear Heavenly Father, we come to you now to take this cup that represents the blood of Christ that was shed on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins. In Jesus' name, amen. Our dear Heavenly Father, we come to you now to give you thanks for all the many blessings and to return a portion of that back to you. We pray this money can be used wisely as you see fit. In Jesus' name, amen.
Grace and peace to you from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. This program is brought to you by the poor, the meek, and the downtrodden of the Main Street Church of Christ, 4300 Main Street, Dallas, Texas, 75226, USA. Visit our website at www.churchofchristpreaching.com. We're an all-volunteer congregation dedicated to preaching the gospel to the whole world and feeding the poor and homeless. The Churches of Christ are those local self-governing congregations found in Romans 16:16. We're neither Protestants nor Catholics nor Jews, but just plain old Bible-believing Christians, reaching the unchurched for Christ at the same time and station. So why don't you come into fellowship with us and have a church in the safety of your own home? Then you and your family will become the Church of Christ, and we'll teach you how. Just come to www.churchofchristpreaching.com. You don't need the approval of anyone to worship God through Jesus Christ. At home, you can sing, pray, listen to us, take the Lord's Supper, and set aside some of God's blessings for the poor in your own local community anywhere in the world. Visit us at www.churchofchristpreaching.com for free downloads of a cappella singing, hundreds of videos, thousands of sermons, beginners and advanced written lessons for our church library. Please tell a friend about our website and broadcast time. We're the poorest church in Dallas, but with God, we've done so much for so long with so little, we're now qualified to do anything with nothing. Weekly, we feed about 2,000 meals to the poor and homeless. Our jail chaplain has baptized over 19,000 believers. We preach the gospel every day to all the world. We're the Main Street Church of Christ in Dallas, Texas. Check us out at www.churchofchristpreaching.com. Why don't you be a missionary and visit this congregation? Instead of India or Africa, you could visit us occasionally, go on a one-hour Bible missionary journey and visit us, and we visit the whole wide world. Tune in the same time and station and visit us at www.churchofchristpreaching.com. beautiful, isn't it? Sounds like a choir with a full orchestra. Well, it's just plain old congregational a cappella singing without musical accompaniment. Grace and peace to you from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. This program is brought to you by the poor, the meek, and the downtrodden of the Main Street Church of Christ, 4300 Main Street, Dallas, Texas, 75226, USA. Visit our website at www.churchofchristpreaching.com. We're an all-volunteer congregation dedicated to preaching the gospel to the whole world and feeding the poor and homeless. The Churches of Christ are those local self-governing congregations found in Romans 16:16. We're neither Protestants nor Catholics nor Jews, but just plain old Bible-believing Christians, reaching the unchurched for Christ at this same time and station. So why don't you come into fellowship with us and have a church in the safety of your own home? Then you and your family will become the Church of Christ, and we'll teach you how. Just come to www.churchofchristpreaching.com. You don't need the approval of anyone to worship God through Jesus Christ. At home, you can sing, pray, listen to us, take the Lord's Supper, and set aside some of God's blessings for the poor in your own local community anywhere in the world. Visit us at www.churchofchristpreaching.com for free downloads of a cappella singing, hundreds of videos, thousands of sermons, beginners and advanced written lessons for a church library. Please tell a friend about our website and broadcast time. We're the poorest church in Dallas, but with God, we've done so much for so long with so little, we're now qualified to do anything with nothing. Weekly, we feed about 2,000 meals to the poor and homeless. Our jail chaplain has baptized over 19,000 believers. We preach the gospel every day to all the world. We're the Main Street Church of Christ in Dallas, Texas. Check us out at www.churchofchristpreaching.com. Why don't you be a missionary and visit this congregation? Instead of India or Africa, you could visit us occasionally. Go on a one-hour Bible missionary journey and visit us, and we visit the whole wide world. Tune in the same time and station and visit us at www.churchofchristpreaching.com.